God responded with, "I will be with you. Tell them that I sent you." And he describes the power and the authority of his holy name. But then he asks a question to Moses. A question that I've been brewing on a lot here recently. He said to Moses, "What is in your hand?" And his hand was a staff. The answer was somewhat simple, but really, the answer has a profound truth for all of us, because in his hand was the presence of God. God had given him a tool, a supernatural tool, to accomplish this mission that did not make sense to him. This mission that felt way too big, a circumstance around him that had a lot of battles involved. But Moses was afraid. Even in that incredible presence of God, and looking at his hand and realizing the supernatural tool, he still was afraid, because he was defining himself by what he could do by himself, who he was without God's presence. And so fear overcame him. Even then, in the presence of God, he still looks at him and says, "Can you just send somebody else?" Have we all felt that way before? But God wanted him to be who he knew he could be with him, with his presence, with his power. Now listen to these words that are in the New Testament. Much later, Jesus is praying. He's in the garden, and he is about to be arrested, moments before he's arrested, and he's praying for his people, the people that he has been discipling and pouring into, the people that he has been teaching. And this is what he says to God as he's praying for them and for us. John chapter 17, verse 11, he says, "I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name that you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one." Protect them by the power of the name that you gave me. In this prayer, he's acknowledging the power of the name that God gave him and that God has given us. Just like God knew that Pharaoh needed his presence with him, God knew that Moses needed his presence with him to face Pharaoh, to face the challenges ahead of him. Jesus also knew we needed the power of his name with us for every circumstance, for every mission ahead of us, that we needed that authority, that beautiful name of Jesus. One of my favorite songs that we often worship to here is called "What a Beautiful Name." And it describes that name of Jesus that we've been given. And so I'm going to actually read the lyrics. And I would like you just to let them soak in your heart the truth of the power of the name of Jesus that we have been given. Listen to the incredible authority in the name of Jesus. "You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, but your love was greater. So what could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is, nothing compares to this, the name of Jesus." And then this part that we declare in the song, when we sing this, we declare this truth, we're engaging in a spiritual battle. When we say, "Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against the name of Jesus. Friends, we can embrace this name of Jesus today. A name that has the power to give us freedom. This is the authority described that is in our hands today. But for some of us, and I know for me in some moments and circumstances, I don't always look to my hand and really see and embrace that name of Jesus. For some of us, we look into our hands and we see or we feel chains. Chains that bind us, that take our power away. Some of us feel these chains, maybe from choices we've made, words others have spoken over us, lies that we've believed as truth. In 1999, I went off to a discipleship training school with Youth with a Mission. It is, which we say YWAM for short, stands for Youth with a Mission. Some people say Young Women After Men, but it is where I met this super cute guy named Jed Redke, Lancaster, Pennsylvania. But honestly, I went to seek God, and I went to draw closer to Him, and I had this incredible experience when I was there, where I was able to claim victory in my life. I mean, put a stake in the ground and say, no more. I was declaring victory over an eating disorder. And it was something that had gripped me. And I had gone to counseling for it, and I had read the big books about how to overcome it, and talked with everybody that I was supposed to talk to. I even had to gain a certain amount of pounds in order to go to YWAM. And then I got there to YWAM, and I started learning about the power of the name of Jesus. And I had heard it before, and I believed in the name of Jesus, but I learned about the authority we can have to claim victory in our lives, to be free from chains. And so I got away after a teaching on the name of Jesus, and I did. I put that stake in the ground, and I said, God, no more. I will not be bound by this. I declare freedom in Jesus' name. And I never once was in chains from an eating disorder again. I had freedom in my life, and I have had freedom in that area of my life ever since that moment. But here's the thing. Usually when we engage in a battle and we say, no more, the enemy pushes back. He does. And we need to be on guard for that. Oh, okay, Jamie's going to fight. Well, we'll see about that. And he pushes us. And I should have been on guard for that, but it wasn't on my radar. I wasn't on guard for being aware of that in every circumstance of my life. I was just relishing in my victory. And so I was my first time away from home. I was 17 and almost 20 hours away from home, actually. And I was loving this experience at YWAM. And then something just suddenly shifted, and my body became just struck with pain. Everything hurt. I had headaches like I had never experienced before. I couldn't sit or stand or lay down without this excruciating pain, and it was terrifying. I ended up going to doctors after spending much time praying and asking the Lord for healing. It wasn't going away, and I didn't know why. So I ended up going to the hospital for a CAT scan because then there was lumps at the base of my skull. We didn't know the root of them. So as I sat there, far away from home and by myself, fear started to overwhelm me as I waited for that CAT scan. All the what ifs. The enemy was feeding me lies. He was trying to wrap me up in chains again, in my mind and in my heart. And as they came, I let them brew and I sat in them. I knew that my life really wasn't worth that much. I could not believe I thought that I would be a world changer someday. All I ever really wanted
was to be married and have children. And I just knew it would never happen for me. Why did I think it would? I just sat in there. I felt hopeless and I felt defeated. The enemy was feeding me lies, and I wasn't just listening. I was embracing them as truth. I was letting them find me. Like Moses' initial reaction, all I could see was the what ifs, the impossibilities ahead of me. But God wanted me to recognize and embrace the name of Jesus in the impossible, to not understand my circumstances, but still trust in Him. I was being tested and I was failing miserably, getting stuck in the lies. When I looked into my hand, I just saw someone who was afraid. A young lady desiring to slay giants. Really, deep within me since I was a little girl. But not taking the self-discipline to take those anxious thoughts captive. So I was still bound. I desired freedom, but I was trapped in these old patterns that had to be cut off. The scan results ended up showing that it was muscle tension. My muscles were in this chronic state of tension. I later met with a specialist, and the specialist said to me, "Jamie, you have all the symptoms of something we call fibromyalgia. You have every single symptom of it. But here's the thing. I'm not going to diagnose you with fibromyalgia today because I don't want that name to limit and define you for the rest of your life. So I'm going to give you some tools and I'm going to show you some natural ways to start taking care of yourself so you can experience relief and healing in your body." I don't know that that doctor was a believer. I didn't have any indication that they were. But the doctor said to me, "I don't want that name to limit and define you." What names do we allow to limit us, to define us, that were not given to us by our Creator? What names? John 10:10 says the enemy comes to steal, to kill, to destroy, but Jesus came so that we may have abundant life. The enemy, he watches us. And he sees us when we put these stakes in the ground, when we say, "Victory, victory, here's victory in Jesus' name." And then he pushes back and he tries to define us by names that were not given to us by our Creator, names that will bind us up and render us powerless. The wisdom that doctor had to look at me and say, "I don't want that to limit and define you," was incredible because I was already starting to do that. Should I really travel across the world? What if I'm just laying in bed in pain and all these opportunities that were coming before me that I had to trust and have faith in God's supernatural power when I wasn't feeling it yet. I wasn't even seeing the change in my body yet. Listen to these words from Galatians 5:7-8. "You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you." This is not a new tactic that the enemy has. He sees us running this good race and he sees our victories and tries to trip us up. It's not new. But Jesus is the same. Hebrews 13 says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The enemy's tactics may not have changed for us, but I just want to encourage us today. I want to give each of us hope in the truth that the name of Jesus to defeat the enemy in our lives has not changed either. The name of Jesus, the name above all names, the name that breaks chains and gives us freedom, the name that saves us and delivers us, redeems us and restores us, the only name that can give us unconditional love, it has not changed. So fast forward about 7 years from that experience, I'm now living in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, married to that cute boy, Jed Repte from YWAM. And we are in love, and we are here serving in a local church as a pastoral couple.
and loving the church we are serving, and we have exciting news to share that baby Red K is on the way. And for those of you that are parents, you remember that feeling of getting to tell people for the first time that you're having a baby? Like, there's really just nothing like it. It is special. It is exciting. And so we were excited to tell people about this news. And for me, this was a name that I had dreamed about since I was a little girl. For as long as I can remember, I have wanted to be a mama. When I was a little girl, I pretended to be a mama. I had my little plastic high heels that I would wear and wrap my babies in blankets and sing to them. Turns out parenting doesn't quite look like that, but I could not wait to hold my babies and be a mama, raise world changers. But then, a few months later, we realized we were miscarrying. And the moment that happened, that I realized what we were going to lose, that pregnancy, that baby, that life, those thoughts started to come back again. Those doubts, the what ifs and the whys. And just as they started to creep in, I recognized it. I was equipped this time. Equipped with the name of Jesus this time. And so when I saw it, I immediately knew what I had to do. And I ran to my bedroom. And I got on my knees and I wept. But I looked up through the windows and I really sobbed. And it was that ugly kind of cry that, since we were in a townhome, most likely the neighbors heard me. But I knew what I had to do, and I lifted my hands in the air and I said, God, even now, you are faithful. Even now, when I'm experiencing this loss, and I begged him, but I know you could keep me from experiencing this loss. But you are faithful. And I'm going to declare it out loud with my mouth, because I'm not going to be in chains this time. This time I was unwilling to accept defeat. I was experiencing loss, absolutely. But I refused to go down that path of bitterness, embracing the lies and the doubts. I refused to. I recognized this battle because I had seen it before. The enemy knows the power of the name of Jesus too. The Bible tells us that the demons hear the name of Jesus and they tremble. They see this power and this authority that we've been given. And the enemy will do everything he can to keep us bound up, to keep us powerless. And why does he want to keep us in chains? Because he knows how his story ends. His story ends in chains. But that's what I want to give us hope about today, is that our story does not need to end in chains. I want to encourage each of you that we can fight with everything we've got. That's the enemy. He's fighting and he's pushing back. But we don't have to be afraid of that. We can recognize the tool that's been given to us. We can declare the name of Jesus to break every chain. When Moses recognized what was in his hand, the power of God, when he embraced that staff in his hand, had the courage to step out in obedience, an entire nation was delivered. I believe today that we need to get free, not just for ourselves, but because there are people waiting to be delivered. There are people waiting for us to be totally free. When we embrace the name of Jesus, yes, we experience freedom. But it's not about
finding our own truth and finding our own way so we can feel good. We need to get free so that we can share, so that we can see deliverance and freedom on the mission God has for us. Earlier I read a verse from John 17, describes the power of Jesus' name. This power helps us say no to fear and take every thought captive. When we take every thought captive, when we step out even when it doesn't make sense, when we tell the enemy where to go with his lies, when we declare truth, even when our hearts are grieving, we experience freedom so that we can bring freedom to this world. That verse in John 17 talks about Jesus praying. He goes on to pray to God. And I want to read that from verse 13. He says, "I say these things while I'm still in the world." Jesus is saying these things while he's in the world, "so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them." Full measure of my joy. Verse 16 says, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by truth. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified." We have been called by Jesus. We have been equipped with his name. We have been sent into the world. We've been given the full ability to have his joy, even when we don't understand our circumstances. Joy. We can trust that his words are true. So I want to come back to that question. What names are we allowing to define us that are not from our Creator? What names are holding us back, keeping us in chains? Because I believe today God wants to break every chain. I believe he wants to give us freedom. I know it. He says it in his word, and his word is true. And I believe he wants us to experience that freedom, not just once this morning here at the front or at an altar, but day after day after day, in all our circumstances, in every moment, not just one victory moment in church, but day after day after day. Psalm 103, verse 1 through 4, this is what it says. "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all my sins, heals all your diseases," and I love this, "who redeems your life from the pit." God wants to redeem our lives. Redeem them from the pit. The enemy is headed to this pit and he knows it and wants to take us with him. But Isaiah 54 says that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. No weapon, no chain formed against you can prosper. Romans 8 says, "There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life set me free, free from sin and death." We can be free from every name that is binding us. Freedom doesn't mean that life will feel easy and happy, and we all know that. We have experienced moments, plenty of trials and circumstances. God's not promising us happiness, an easy life. The last time that I stood up to speak in front of a group was at the funeral for someone I loved and believed for a miracle for. But I believe in a God who has overcome death, who has taken the sting out of death, who gives me hope and freedom and joy even when I'm grieving, even when I don't understand. Because we don't have to understand our circumstances to trust in Jesus. We don't have to understand what's going around us and what all the wise to have freedom in our hearts, freedom in our lives. I've also seen God do miracles. I have prayed and believed for people and seen miracles. Miracles in my own children. Miracles for others I've prayed for. God is alive and has given us authority and a tool to use. It's here in our hands. In the name of Jesus, we can experience victory, broken chains. For some of us, our circumstances may not change, but we can change. We can be transformed by the renewing of our minds, the Word says. We can have hope. We can have freedom. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up to start playing while I continue to share. I'd like you to listen to this quote from Lisa Bevere. Trials have the power to transform us from who we are into who we long to be. But somewhere along the way, we pick up the lie that we could be heroes without ever engaging in a battle. We must engage in this battle, guys. We have to. There are people waiting for us to engage in this battle. The very presence of God is living within us. That presence that inflamed the bush. The presence that caused Moses' face to glow. The presence that raises the dead to life. We've been given that presence, that authority, the name of Jesus. I love this testimony in Acts 12, verse 6 says this. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers and he was bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared. A light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Quick, get up, he said. And the chains fell off. They fell off. This is a word for us today. I believe it. It's a word for each of us. What would it look like for your chains to fall right now? For every name that God did not give you to fall off in Jesus' name. As I prepared this message, I spent a lot of time in prayer. And I asked God, what else is there? Because this message in the name of Jesus was so strong within my heart to share. But this is what I sensed the Lord saying to me. To say this to you. I see you. I believe God wants you to know this morning. He sees you. Not just like you and I see each other when we walk in the door to church. He sees you right now. And He sees what you're facing. And He sees the chains the enemy has tried to define you with. And He wants you to know they do not define you. He wants you to be free. He sees us as a body, as a church family here at Millersville. He has been here and He has seen the victories of this church. He has seen the hits and the losses, the challenges as well. He never left. And He wants us to know as a family, as a group of believers, that we are defined by the name of Jesus. Not the losses, not the hits, not the challenges that have happened. We are free and we are defined by the name of Jesus so that we can say, yes, we have to get free so that we can say yes to this mission He has for us to flourish. He longs for us to live in freedom. This morning I'm going to read to you the names that God calls each of us today. His words are true. And the God that sees you, this is how He sees you this morning. So listen to how God sees you. Receive this as truth. God sees you right now as greatly loved. He calls you friend, chosen, handmade, temple, brand new, forgiven, free, messenger to the world, created with purpose, provided for, rescued, restored, courageous, victorious, more than a conqueror, child of God. He calls you son. He calls you daughter. This is who we are. And any name that does not align with these truths, we must break them off in Jesus' name today. So I ask you to just take a moment and to reflect. Look at these names that I've read. And I encourage you to break off every name, every chain that does not line up with this truth. And it's really that easy. It's really that simple. We just say, this is not who I am. This is not who I am. I break it off in Jesus' name. I am a child of God. So let's do that now. Close your eyes. Let's say yes to the mission God has for us. While the music plays, you break those chains.